Take KUJZ 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go at 95.3thescore.com. And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
What'd I win?
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
And a happy March to you. Whoop, whoop, whoop. It's here. One of my favorite months of the year is here. It's a beautiful thing. The questions for the Pac-12 women's regular season are now all answered. The questions for the Pac-12 men's season, incredibly, are not really that answered. We know who the champs might be. We know who might get a bye. And we know that UCLA has gone plum loco from a season that had people questioning if they made the right hire to altering the face of the program midstream. Now you're blue leaders. With one game left in the regular season. Interesting question. A buddy of mine I think knowing him, he was probably on the train from his home into his job in New York City and said, every major newspaper has a Today in History. It's in the comic section in the Register Guard. And it was March 2nd, 1962, when Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points. And when you think about the great accomplishments in sports, why does that not surface very often? Is it because it coincidentally was played off-site in a barn like in Hershey, Pennsylvania? There's no film. There's a picture of Chamberlain with a 100 sign that somebody stole a magic marker from like a local school marm to write on.
Did they even have magic markers?
There's always been magic markers.
Are you sure?
Well, in my lifetime, so I'd assume there wasn't.
I feel like when people were throwing witches into rivers and seeing and wondering if they were mad, the idea of magic markers being a thing, I don't think it would.
I'll tell you
what
the difference is. Back then, a black magic marker was big, thick. There weren't alternative colors, and you could smell it from here to Cleveland.
Oh, I know that smell.
So, 100. First of all, the more you learn about it, the more you're like, wow, what happened in the fourth quarter is basically then Philadelphia started fouling the Knicks. So there was enough time to get the ball into Chamberlain, and the Knicks were in turn, knowing he's not a good foul shooter, fouling him so he wouldn't get 100 points against them. So if you took the ultimate conspiracy theorist and just started doling out the tinfoil, if it was sponsored by Reynolds Wrap. Well, I'm saying,
in my opinion, that sucked.
Would they be less likely to believe the moon landing or that Chamberlain actually scored 100 points in a game with no documentation?
Oh, see, now you're playing my game, Steve. Now we're going to have some fun here.
The whole Stevie Wonder thing.
He's not blind. People are throwing things at him, and he's dodging them. Get out of here. Okay, yeah, Wilt Chamberlain
scores.
What is
it with that seat? Alex was the same way.
Oh, because it's true. You have to believe it at this point. But no, come on. Wilt Chamberlain plays a game in front of no TVs, very few reporters. Nobody's got a score sheet, and they're like, hey, Wilt, kind of feels like you scored 100 points out there. How many did you score?
Yeah,
I scored about 100 points, I'd say. Wow, do we have any statistical evidence of this? I have a piece of paper that says 100 on it. 100 what? Did he miss 100 baskets? Did he take 100 baskets? Was it his 100th career point? No, thank you, sir. Wilt Chamberlain did not score 100
points. It just dawned on me that in all these years, and remember when I started following the game, it was within the last decade that it happened, and obviously there was no questioning it. There was nobody who Googled the game story that day.
Oh, there was no Google?
Well, really? Yahoo is just celebrating its, 25th anniversary today, 1995 of officially incorporating. But if you go to Wilton Norman Chamberlain, and I mean, the box score exists. And, you know, it's funny to think it was only the his third season in the league. And, you know, it was one of those years where he, I think that was the year where he averaged 50 points a game. By the way, when you're second on the team in scoring at 22 and the guy ahead of you averages 28 more than you, do you tell people you were the second leading scorer on that team? Or do you just like, yeah, I played with Chamberlain. He was the leading scorer. How'd you do? I tried. It really was just ridiculous. So, yeah, if you go to the box score from that game, I mean, they scored 90 points in the second half. And he went to the line. First of all, he took 63 field goals. Now, the crazy thing is, if you know the history of Chamberlain, he was, you know, back in the day, he got fouled at the end of games rather than, you know, give up the easy dunk or layup, or as he used to call it, the Big Dipper.
I mean, two assists for this Chamberlain guy in a game where you score 100. Come on.
Hog. He was a 51% free throw shooter. That year, 52%. That night, 38 of 42. So he made 38 free throws.
Everything else about reading this box score to me screams conspiracy. I'm telling, like, Will Chamberlain, you know, he seems like a guy who is keeping track of his stats, and he maybe kind of knew, and somebody would have been like, oh, well, how many free throws did you take? I was like, this many, so that's, he made that many, so we've got that many points covered, so he had to have made this many other baskets. And then everybody else is like these nice even numbers, 4, 8, guys on the bench, 5, 4, and then a 1, so it's more 5s. Everything's really balanced out and even. And then this Paul Arizin and Tom Meschery guy,
Arizin.
Like Arizin, and they're just like, no, I was 7 of 12. I took a lot of shots in that game. I remember exactly what I was doing because I always keep track of my stats, because these reporters out here that are spending
can't be
more
trusted.
Yeah, it's smoking cigarettes the entire game. They're not actually keeping track of what's going on. Heck, I bet we could say Wilt scored 100 in this game and they'd believe it.
The weird part is there's Chamberlain, there's Pete Rose, who could recite you their statistics like they memorized a speech or their lines from a movie. I mean, I remember seeing Pete Rose on This Week in Baseball. So what kind of season? Well, I got 38 doubles. I'm up to 187 hits. I'm batting .327. And my on-base percentage, I mean, also both guys had an incredible reputation for being incredibly selfish. So you got that going for you, which is nice.
His other career high was 78, and he just goes out and very perfectly evenly scores 100? No.
Kind of like being a Bonds fan. Never hit 50, all of a sudden he hit 73. We're supposed to buy that.
Oh, he's extremely talented. It's a brand new ballpark. Maybe the wind was
he's
a little different.
He's not quite Brady Anderson,
couple
who never
more,
hit 30.
A couple more games at Coors one season or another. Ah, it works out just fine.
It's funny how you're a conspiracy theorist until it doesn't benefit you or your cheating scumbag.
Thank you, Steve. That's the joke.
So today's show, is today like two shows? Should we charge double? Which, even though two times nothing is nothing?
I'd rather get Thursday or Friday off if we're doing two shows today.
All right. Ashley Adamson, the hostess with the mostest for the Pac-12 Network, who will be spending a lot of time in Vegas the next couple weeks, will join us at the bottom of the hour. Then we have a Richter scale. Then we'll talk with Michael Riley, because tomorrow is another Tracktown Tuesday. Then at 4:45, that's 4:30, 4:45, we'll do Light 'Em Up. Many worthy candidates from this weekend of high-level performers. At 5:10, Kelly Graves, coach of the now three-time outright Pac-12 champion Oregon Ducks, will join us. And to end the show, we'll talk with Oregon baseball coach Mark Wasikowski. Now, normally we set up interviews to preview something or promote something, or just it's been a while since we talked about something. But we decided, because of our first conversation after Oregon lost all their games the first weekend, we did not talk before then. Then we talked, then they swept Nevada. Then we talked, and they swept Milwaukee. And between Coach and the athletic department and I, we're like, well, I guess we at least need to talk for a little bit today. And that's what we're doing. Chalk this up. And if you're a baseball person, if you would, I don't care what level you played, if every single time you ran from the outfield to the infield and refused to step on the baseline and jump over that or not talk about a no-hitter or the way you use your mitt or, like Crash Davis said, respect the streak. That's the absolute primary reason we're having Coach Waz on. And by the way, I am completely down for it.
Oh, I'm 110% in as well. The only thing that might end up costing Coach Waz at this point, Coach Waz, is that it wasn't a pre-record. This is a pre-planned interview that we're playing at a different time.
But he's on a Monday.
He's on a Monday. If that's all...
That's the parameter.
If the key is on a Monday, then we're good. If the key is a pre-record on a Monday that we have to play at 4:30 on a Monday, then it might be a week.
Nope. I said, you lost all your games, we didn't talk, but then the last two times before you play, actually, maybe I could have just talked to him on the phone. Maybe. It's just a matter of he and I spoke, and they've swept every game since. I don't want to get too disjointed. I know one thing. I'm really superstitious when it comes to sports and gambling. And for example, I mean, there's no reason anybody would have, but the times I've had winning streaks when I shoot craps, I don't like to put my money on the racks. I will hold it in my hand. I will hold it in my pants. If I'm wearing a sport jacket, I'll keep it there. Roll with the right. Hold chips with the left. Press it. And use certain terminology. Never. That's one of the reasons I think secretly I've never covered the tournament in Vegas or any Vegas bowl. Because I'm saying if we had a pregame scheduled and they were sponsored and they were paying for it, and I was up several hundred bucks or a grand at the table and I was at a winning streak, and whether it was Nick, a producer, is like, we're on in 5 minutes, I'm not leaving. I don't care. I'm on a hot streak. There's not one slim chance I'm leaving till I either crap out or the dealer pulls a 21.
That's probably the scariest thing I could ever imagine about you being like, if you had talked to the bosses, like, I got to cover this women's team, but I got to go to Vegas for the weekend, I can do the show kind of while they're playing on Friday, da, 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 da. We can make it all work, it'll be okay. I would be absolutely panicked, just wondering, is Steve preparing for the show? Is Steve just wandering from casino to casino? Is he okay? He hasn't texted me since before he left. I don't know if he even got there.
Oh, well, what's first going and foremost. On here? Show prep comes first, all right? That's done. But just because we're supposed to be on Radio Row, let's say the game was on, let's say we're doing the Vegas Bowl. The game starts at 7, our pregame starts at 3. If at 2:45 I'm on a roll, I'm not making any guarantees I'm there for the start of that show.
And it's a horrifying thought. Just absolutely panic.
Just go right into across the pond and hope I crap out. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection.
Welcome back. It's 4:40 here at Sports Talk without Steve Tannen. I'm still texting Steve. He hasn't answered, so we're going to play
see
this
him from
across
here.
The pond interview again. And
I
I'm
have
sorry,
bad
it's the
news.
Ninth time we've played it, but here we go.
He's got a stack of blacks and a stack of greens, and those are hundreds or 25s, and there's no chance in hell he's walking away from that table. Anyway, Ashley Adamson will join us. She'll be in Vegas at the epicenter of the conference coverage because all the games up until the championship game for the women's tournament are on the Pac-12 network. All right, 284-8571. Your Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could also hit us up on the text line, 321-0824. You can try us on Twitter, at 953, the score for the station. For me, it's at SportsTalk953. For Nick, it is at Rick Nodgers. And like I said, we've got a really full show. Got a really, really full show today. I would say the most comical, non-intentional, funny remark today came from the new president of the New York Knicks. His name's Leon Rose, and New York is desperate, and so they named a former agent thinking, you know, he is going to oversee all basketball operations and personnel decisions. He wrote a letter to Knicks fans where he says, we ask you be patient. Well, first of all, like, fans have a choice. I mean, you can not go to games, not watch, not buy gear. But if you're a fan, you know, I want to thank Mike for his continued leadership, who's the, you know, the interim coach, and noting that nothing about this is easy. And he tags his first message to the New York Knicks fans: I ask for your continued patience. No, you're not getting anything. You're that franchise. What would make you laugh harder of all the major sports franchises or college programs we follow, basketball or football for a college, you know, NBA, MLB, and NFL, would make you double over with laughter if somebody in charge says, we're just going to need for you to be patient? Bengals, Lions, Clippers, Yankees. I'm just trying to think of Cal football, who really hasn't won anything in our lifetime. Vanderbilt football. We just need you to be patient. And the people answer with, we're going to need you to leave the SEC. We like football. We like a chance. Get none of that. Nothing. What's with people who are a little bent out of shape about LeBron kind of mentoring Zion Williamson and other young players? And people always, and I love the curmudgeon patrol who will be like, well, Dick Butkus never would have helped a guy off the pavement after he tackled him. Yeah, if they played on the pavement. First of all, how often really do you see a guy make a tackle and then help a guy up? It's barely happens. And for those who said it never happened, I could testify in the 70s and 80s, being at Jets and Giants games, sack a quarterback, or you make a great play on a guy, you do the pat on the head. I think time alters and distorts people's view, and they're very comfortable saying, well, today's game versus the 80s versus the 60s, and it doesn't all fall under one umbrella.
It's a selective memory. Like, a bunch of old Mary guys always say, oh, I don't have bad hearing, I have selective hearing. I choose when I do or do not want to hear. I choose what I do and do not remember about other times and other things are going on in my life. So if I think that a player was never helped up off the field because I remember one tackle where it didn't happen, that's the one thing I remember. And in their absolutist mind, they're right. Because they only remember that one tackle. Andrew Luck and Marcus Mariota, when the mic'd up videos come out, they're the two guys that constantly are like, oh, hey, buddy, nice hit, patting guys on the head and getting pulled
Luck
up.
Luck almost likes it. I'm a little concerned about him.
He likes the con. Well, that's why everybody was so shocked when he retired. It's like, dude, this guy loves just playing football. He's a big old dorky nerd, but he loves football.
Right. There are the blanket philosophy aggravates me, and I get it from both ends because of being a 50-something, 60-something, I hear the whine. I get the whining about the millennials. And God forbid you disagree with the millennial who knows everything. You know, you get whatever boomer. And it's like, yeah, that's really got nothing to do with it. Or when people play the age card just because it works for them. Makes it's so cheap and petty and pointless. But LeBron going out of his way to compliment young players or perhaps advise them. What a jerk. And I'll tell you what, because he came in as King James, as this phenomenon who we'd seen on ESPN from like the minute he turned 16, there's always that, well, all right, rookies are coming up. And especially as the money has geometrically grown upward. I mean, remember, it was a core of veterans who prior to the NFL's round of collective bargaining in 2011 that were basically like, yeah, that rookie deal where guys who never played a lick and I'd be getting the crap beat out of me for 6 years and they get $50 million guaranteed. Yeah, we're going to do away with that, okay? Okay. What? Okay. And I think Bradford was the first one to get either a $40 or $50 million guarantee. And people used him as an example. And by the way, as it turned out, yeah, you probably shouldn't have guaranteed Sam Bradford $40 or $50 million. Maybe $40 or $50. Remember, we were talking about presidents on big dollar bills. You give him $50. Let him come in the league. We're okay with that.
It would have been really funny to be like a time-traveling guy and you go back in time. And you're like, okay, Rams, listen, you guarantee Sam Bradford $50 million, but put some sort of language in his contract where you don't have to cover his medical bills, because that's going to be twice as expensive. If you give him the $50 million straight up, his glass knees will be able to handle it, but you can't cover his medical bills, man. You just can't do it.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. With the MLB season now this month, I was reading a piece on a guy who's got a full-time job now as an ESPN baseball analyst. He did it twice last year, and you've probably heard him if you've listened to national sports radio, but Chipper Jones.
Tannenism.
Will now have a full-time gig with the Entertainment Sports and Programming Network. He'll call mostly weeknight and holiday games. He was pretty good. You know, he's always been more than a solid interview. You know, he's kind of got that laid-back, deep South style, being a peach from Georgia. Obviously a great player. And on interviews, one of the things I like is he's a good storyteller. So be curious. Be looking forward to I always like the opportunity. I mean, I know they're afforded a lot of opportunities, but for a really great player, you know, a unique player, a switch hitter, spent his whole career with one franchise, to see how he translates, because he also wasn't one of those guys who did it immediately. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer now, so he's been retired 7 years. And so we'll see about Chipper Jones. So let's take a break. Come back. We'll have a Coors Light update. And then, yay! We'll head south, talk with Ashley Adamson of the Pac-12 Network. Coming at you next, 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
And Sobley to Sabrina. Now down to the right corner. Crossover on the wing. Here's the cut. Sobley reverse up and in. That was nice. Now ball knocked away on the floor. Heaver passes down to Chavez. Running out and laying in. Racing into front court. Ionescu corner. Three good is good by Sabrina Ionescu.
Terry Johns with a trio of highlights incorporating a lot of substantial contributors to this fabulous Pac-12 champion team, now entering the conference tournament starting Thursday against the Washington-Utah winner to get their postseason underway. We'll get two more games at Matthew Knight Arena, no doubt about it. And if this story doesn't end one way or another in New Orleans, yeah, I'm buying. There you go. I said it. I would be that surprised. All right. We welcome you to the Monday edition, Crunch Time and Sports Talk. March is here. We're into the final week of the men's Pac-12 season, and obviously two enormous games with Cal, 8 o'clock on Thursday, and then the men will wrap the regular season with the Cardinal. This weekend, still much to decide. Let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, talk some Pac-12 hoops. Who better than the hostess with the mostess, who's been with the network since its launch almost 8 years ago. She and the crew keep us wired into the Conference of Champions on Twitter. Reverse it. Use the handle at Adamson Ashley. And the Boston U Terriers still repping the 617. Ashley Adamson, how is life treating you these days?
Life is great. Thanks so much for the phenomenal intro and for having me on. I appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Love this time of year, obviously, or I should be in a different line of work. But, you know, Ash, I feel like talking about men's basketball right now, not a lot of reason to overanalyze. Seven different teams have had a share of the lead. Teams who could win the regular season title, not even get a bye. From where you sit, watching it all, hearing everybody talk about it, in using the term, how joyfully insane has this league been to follow?
I love that's a perfect way to put it. Joyfully insane is exactly what it is. And, you know, every single weekend start the weekend saying, okay, we're going to have a better idea of the top teams or there's going to be some separation. And honestly, like up until this past weekend, there hasn't been anything you can point to that say, okay, well, that's a sure thing. We know this team is going to show up. We know that team is going to show up. This is a known quantity. The most known quantity over the past 6 weeks has been UCLA, which is just absolutely insane to me when you consider that they started, 1-3, I think, in conference play. So that is certainly the biggest story as we head into the month of March when you look at the men's side and just what Mick Cronin has been able to do and the buy-in he's got and the confidence that team is playing with right now. It's really unbelievable. And their schedule shapes up in that they've got basically a bye. They've got one game left before the tournament, and then they obviously will have a bye in the opening round in Vegas. So it's been fascinating to watch all season long. I don't think anyone would have predicted that UCLA would be first and that UW would be last at this point.
Yeah, if you played connect the dots and say, okay, the team that lost at home to Cal State Fullerton and Hofstra got crushed by Stanford and was 8-9 with a new coach is now leading the conference. But lo and behold, and you know, you talk to a lot of people, you hear the analysis there at the Epicenter. What is the word about what Mick Cronin has done, a defense-minded guy from the Midwest, stepping into a program that was built for offense and athleticism?
Well, I think he just he's an authentic guy, and it's amazing if you go back and read, I can't remember exactly when it was, but if you go back and listen to or read his comments, I think it was about a month and a half, 2 months ago, he called out his team. I mean, he did not mince words talking about that his team, the struggles that they were having and why they were having them. So I think he's been honest since day one. And the thing about UCLA, it's not like we thought they didn't have any talent. They have talent there. Those guys are, they've got some big-time recruits. They've got some guys who know how to play. And it's just amazing what happens when you teach guys how to play defense, preach that part of the game, and also instill kind of a tough-mindedness, which this program, I remember it really stuck out for me when I was watching UCLA play at McHale, maybe 3 weeks ago,
right,
when UCLA beat Arizona at their place. And I just remember thinking, man, they are just out-muscling. They're doing exactly what Sean Miller wants his team to do. And they're out-rebounding, they're out-muscling, they're out-toughing, they're getting the hustle plays. And that stuff matters. And then I think when all of a sudden you start to have results and the players start to see, oh, yeah, what coach is saying is kind of starting to make sense and we're actually winning and isn't this fun and maybe he's right. The buy-in, it just goes up exponentially. So I think you nail it on the head. He's the guy who cares about defense and being tough, and he's got a process that works. And he comes, he was on the podcast the other day with Mike Yam and Don McClain, the Inside Pac-12 Basketball podcast, and it was a great interview. And he basically talked about, when he was at Cincinnati, he was never at a place where he got the best players. He was never going to get the best players in the country to Cincinnati. And so he figured out a process that worked for him to teach them how to win. Even when you were going up maybe against guys who were, quote unquote, more athletic or more talented than they were. So he's brought that to UCLA. Obviously, one of the reasons he came to Westwood was so that he could get those top players, and he said that. But it's amazing to see the difference that the transformation that team has gone under in the last month and a half, 2 months.
Let's get to Oregon. It's been a bit of a roller coaster. They had some nice non-conference wins early, 6 overtime games. I mean, their team drama. But they are unbeaten at home, 2 left here. Coach Altman always has them ready come March. So what's the word around the network about how dangerous these Ducks might be right now?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting because, again, like, and you could say this about every team in the Pac-12, just you think you know them, and then they go out and play a game, and you're like, what the hell was that? So I think that has certainly been the case with Oregon. I think for me personally, and I think this is probably the general vibe around our place, is that Dana Altman is a future Hall of Fame coach, and there is nobody, you said it, there is nobody that has their team more ready to play than he does come this time of the month. We saw what they were able to do in Vegas last year. Make that run and win 4 games in 4 days, and it was incredible. So I think he has the pieces. I think health is going to be a factor. I think depending upon, Okoro obviously going what he went through with his dad and coming back, and now he's back in the mix, and Duarte's a question mark. So I think there's a lot of things that we don't necessarily know how they're going to play out, but I believe in this team, and I would say the number one reason I believe in this team is because of Dane Altman and Peyton Pritchard. And when you have a coach like that and you have a player of Peyton's caliber who has the experience that he has, who has just that intangible, desire to win and competitive spirit, and the guy who wants to take the big shot in those big moments, like, that can carry you pretty far in the month of March. That goes a long way. So, it would not surprise me at all. In fact, if I was going to pick, I would say Oregon would win the conference tournament. I think, depending on how things all play out, I could see them in UCLA sharing the regular season title. But they've got 2 games, as you mentioned, at home to close out against Cal and Stanford, and they don't lose at home. So, and they're going to be dialed in for Stanford. I can tell you that. They did not like the way that that last game went when they played on the farm. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I've got a lot of faith, probably more than any other team, and I should say that I've got a ton of faith in UCLA as well, but if I was going to put those two next to each other, right, I want to say my gut's going to say that I'm going with the Ducks.
Well, clearly Ashley is looking to campaign in Oregon for the 2024 presidential candidacy.
Right.
Talk with Ashley.
You got to know your audience.
Oh, no, that's brilliant.
I mean that. I do. I know that you guys appreciate it because I'm sure that fans do, but Dana is just, he's a phenomenal, phenomenal coach, and Peyton is the type of player who, he doesn't come around all that often, and you don't get guys like that to stick around all the time for 4 years and do what he's been able to do, so it's special.
Talking with Ashley Adamson of the Pac-12 Network, to the women's side, we now know the answers for the regular season, and you know the history of this game, and the Ducks beat Team USA. They went into UConn and kicked their rear end. They swept Stanford. I mean, just those accomplishments alone before the postseason begins, I mean, it's just remarkable, isn't it?
The thing I would say about Oregon, it is remarkable. And that there's, I'm running out of superlatives to describe this team and this season and Sabrina and Ruthie and Satu. I love this team. I do. And I believe that they are destined for something special. And whether or not that means, you have to have a lot of things go your way to be able to go and make a run and win a national championship. And you got to stay healthy and you got to get some things to break your way and you got to have some good matchups and all the rest, stuff that you don't control. But the way that this season has gone, everything that happened with Kobe Bryant and the way that it felt like it really brought this team closer together and has turned Sabrina Ionescu into this. She was the face of college basketball before Kobe passed away, and what she has done since and the strength that she has showed and the poise that she has shown, it's like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, it's honestly, it's a side of her that not any of us, I don't think, saw before the last couple of months. And I'm assuming that a lot of your listeners and you saw what happened Friday night after they clinched the outright Pac-12 title in that win over Washington State. But she delivered, an amazing message to the crowd, talked about the word Everglow, and they ran this tribute video about Kobe and about how that day that they played Oregon State, it was so heartbreaking, and yet it kind of opened all of their eyes to realize, like Sabrina said it perfectly. She said, we started the season, it was all about staying mad and playing with a chip on our shoulder and unfinished business, and now I realize it is so much bigger than that. And we have an opportunity to make this so much more than just basketball. And it's just been remarkable to watch. I can't quite put it into words, and I've never seen anything like it, and I don't know that we're going to see it again anytime soon. So I think they're poised for something special, and I don't know who's going to beat them. I mean, that's the question I always ask Mayor Murphy, like, who could possibly beat them? You look at the Pac-12 teams, and they're all, you know, there's two or three Final Four contenders besides Oregon, and yet I don't see anyone even coming close to the Ducks in Vegas. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
No, I've said if this story doesn't end in New Orleans, I'm buying, so I'm on the hook.
Yeah.
You know, Ashley, it's always a nice story when a former great returns as a coach. Ada Barnes, the leading scorer in Arizona history, her fourth year running the program. First two were rough. Went all the way 2-1 the WNIT last year, and to finish fourth place and get a bye in the tournament this year in the best conference in America, beat Oregon State, beat UCLA, beat Stanford. How great a story has this been?
It's been phenomenal, and Adia is one of those people who it's just so easy to gravitate to her. She's, you know, we talk about fit all the time in college athletics when it comes to the coach and the program, and she is. She understands that community. She is one of them. She's a wildcat. She cares about it in a way that is, you know, it's in her blood. And I think watching what she has been able to do in the last 4 years has been incredible. She's actually our guest tomorrow on our podcast.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, and she's just, she's amazing because she's real and she's honest and she's kind of no BS, but she also has this like incredible joy about her, and it's contagious. And, you know, you see what she's been able to build. Tucson was, it was kind of a, you know, when she started there, there were maybe 200 people at the most that would show up to those games. And now she's selling that place out all the time. I mean, she's getting between, you know, 8,000 and 10,000 fans in those seats on a regular basis, which is just incredible to watch. And it really started with the WNIT run last year. So, you know, that last, they had that huge win over Stanford on Friday, and then they kind of fell flat against Cal on Sunday on Senior Day, which you kind of hated to see from an Arizona perspective, certainly. But as of right now, all the projections that I see, and we'll find out more tonight when the selection committee releases their final top 16 seed preview, but they're on pace to host the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, and it's going to be really special if and when that takes place, because that community has just fully embraced Adia and this team, and it's been really cool to watch, and certainly one of the biggest stories over the last year and a half.
No, it's been fun. And to wrap up, it all starts 11:30 Thursday morning at the Mandalay Bay Events Center. All of our friends at the Pac-12 Network, you guys once again will be the epicenter. So what the fans and we in the media who are going to be wired in need to know about all the coverage you guys have up your sleeves.
Yeah, we're going to be wall-to-wall is probably the easiest way to put it. But you mentioned at 11:30 a.m. on Thursday with ASU and Cal. And we'll just basically be live from there through the 8:30 p.m. game on Thursday. And same thing on Friday. We'll come back and do the rest. So we've got 10 of the 11 games. Pac-12 Network has all but the championship game on Sunday. That's on ESPN2. And then, you know, I'm sticking around in Vegas, because we get to do it all again with the men's tournament the following week, starting on Wednesday. So it's one of my most favorite times of the year. It's exhausting, but I can't imagine, you know, wanting to be or do anything else. So hopefully my kids will still recognize me when I come home from being in Vegas for 2 weeks. But I cannot wait. I'm fired up. And, yeah, we'll have you covered on Pac-12 Network and all of our social media apps and all that good stuff. So we're fired up, and we'll be dialed in.
Ashley, my main concern is you're going to have a few days down. You're going to be able to find anything to do in Vegas?
Yeah, I don't know. There's not a whole lot going on. Yeah, I think I'm hopefully going to sleep. I'll have Monday, and then Tuesday I'll have to be at practices and shoot-arounds for the men's. But Monday I plan on getting some shut-eye is my hope.
All right. Ashley, it's always my pleasure. Enjoy. You guys do terrific work. On Twitter, follow her at Adamson Ashley. Again, she is the hostess with the mostest. Thanks for your time, Ash. Travel safe and enjoy your stay there. It's going to be awesome.
I appreciate you, Steve. Have a good one, and go Ducks.
All right, have a good one. Got to go Ducks out of Ashley. Gotta love that. All right, folks, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's take a break, and we'll come back. We'll wrap up Monday's edition of Crunch Time with the Richter Scale. Next, 95.3 The Score.
Crunch Time on 95.3 The Score is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Family owned and operated for more than 50 years. Visit them online at guarantee.com.
Technical foul on Sean Miller. He might get tossed. John Higgins saying, be careful, or you're going to get tossed here.
Sean, they need you. Not get kicked out.
John Higgins is really close to giving him that second time.
Not get kicked out here, Sean Miller. This is a winnable game. It's a game your team needs. You made your point, Sean.
By the way, a lot of people were getting on Sean Miller there. Did anybody see the video? Cody Riley of UCLA absolutely mugs Nico Mannion, who steals an inbound under the basket. And the ref, I think the ref got caught napping because there was a score. So they're inbounding it under the basket. There's a tendency to get ready to head up court. He stole it, went up, and got crushed. No call. Either way, UCLA wins it. And they are surging. Sarge, I don't understand why. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
You made your point, Sean.
Oh, no. Our lives have just changed.
You made your point, Sean.
Let's lock up, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I almost did what I've threatened to do for years, stab myself with a pen.
Oh, yeah, yes, yourself. That's what you threatened to do.
It's ink. All right, let's lock it up. It's crunch time. It's Monday. It's time for this.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Run away! Run away!
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad. How bad?
Oh, my God. That's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Time for the Richter Scale. It's the best of the best from the weekend. Big sporting events, news, and happenings and things. And I asked Steve about them, and he tells us how big an impact they had. It's not very often Oregon gets to honor an all-time great or greats, but when they do, they go all out. Marcus got a state-of-the-art performance center named after him, and while I'm sure the 900-foot banners for Ruthie, Sabrina, and Satu are on the way, their senior day ceremony afternoon was great. Kelly Graves, Ruthie, Satu, Sabrina all talked about their first couple years where friends and family would sit anywhere they wanted at MKA, and now they've ended the season with three straight sellouts of 12,364 fans there to watch them play. They're history makers, dominant players, some of the best ever in Oregon history, and they were all there at the same time. That's without mentioning the fourth senior, Mignon Moore, who, as Kelly Graves said, took Oregon's defensive rating from in the hundreds to into the top 30 in 1 year, which is just incredible. How big of an impact did the Fab Four have on Oregon women's basketball?
Well, aside from the fact that they completely changed it from an also-ran program that most people outside of the game couldn't have picked out three or four players or maybe a coach to maybe the biggest thing in the game today, men or women, again, we don't give out a lot of 10s. Yeah, we're doing it now.
11. I said during the lightning round last week that the Pac-12 will continue to eat itself alive, and because chaos reigns supreme, it indeed happened, UCLA beating ASU. I said UCLA will beat ASU. And then UCLA beat ASU, and they came roaring back against Arizona, and they won that one too. And out of nowhere, a team that was 1-3 to start conference play with losses to Cal State Fullerton, a not very good North Carolina team, and Hofstra, which is funny as it sounds, they're also 23-8, so that's kind of the joke on me. Not only that, but Cal and Stanford both beat Utah and Colorado this weekend just in time for Cal and Stanford to show up at MKA to take on Oregon. This conference is insane, and it doesn't make sense, and yet it's the same thing every year. I don't know why we don't expect it. How big of an impact will the chaos from the Pac-12 this weekend have on the Ducks?
on the Ducks, I don't think that much because mostly it benefited them. You know, there was a time where they needed Colorado to slide. They did. They needed Arizona State to fall behind them to avoid that, like, third-tier tiebreaker. They did. And they have UCLA right where they want them. They sweep. The one seed is still theirs. So it's like, if you were looking for it negatively, it would have been minimal. If you were looking at it positively, I think everything's kind of fallen in place. So let's just say the events of the past weekend aided Oregon to the tune of an 8.
All right. It was LeBron versus Zion part deux last night, and LeBron once again showed that at 35, he's not slowing down, not even a little bit. In two games against Zion, LeBron went for 40 at home. He had a 34-point triple-double last night. He's been dominating the rookies this year and upcoming stars, averaging 30-10-10 against Luka Doncic, Trae Young, and now Mr. Williamson. He's 35, and he's leading the league in assists with 10.6 a game, and he's doing it taking less two-pointers and more three-pointers, and yeah, I guess playing with Anthony Davis helps him a whole lot, too. The Lakers have a 5-game lead for first in the West, but they're 6 back of the Bucks for the best record in the NBA. But LeBron's making another case for the MVP this year, despite Giannis going for back-to-back MVPs and James Harden three-point traveling his way into contention as well. How serious of an MVP contender is LeBron James this year?
There's still a lot to go, and nobody's catching the Greek Freak. I mean, and the Bucks, I should say. So they're going to be the one seed by a mile, which matters. And LeBron, as rare, as odd as it sounds, they might get overlooked a bit because people are talking about who might be the contenders in the West while everybody's thinking there's one in the East. So his legitimacy in the mind of real hardcore NBA analysts might be a 10, but realistically, it's about a 5.
Last one here. Major League Soccer's 25th season began this weekend with two more teams, Miami and Nashville. They both lost their opening games. Our Portland Timbers lost their first ever season opening home game, and both LA teams look very good again. But then the bad news. Atlanta United striker Joseph Martinez has a torn ACL. The 26-year-old scored 19, 31, and 27 goals in his three seasons in Atlanta, and the league lost now one of its few big names that it actually has. Since the season also runs into October. That's right. It starts a full month before baseball. It ends at the same time, and they play 120 less games. That means there's probably a chance that maybe Joseph Martinez can be back for the playoffs. But how big of an impact will Joseph Martinez's injury have on MLS?
And MLS?
Yeah.
First of all, you got to gauge how big MLS is. So could anything really be a 10? No, it starts at 7. So it's a substantial. I'm being realistic. And we live in a hotbed of MLS. And when's the last time anybody even mentioned it here? So I'm giving it a 4, and I think I'm being generous. All right, that's a wrap into the 4 o'clock hour. Actually, we got so much going on, I don't even have time to tell you guys. Sports Talk is next, 95.3 The Score.
You made your point, Sean.